Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia, this is CJSF 90.1 FM.
Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station up here on Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Coetzee, Stolo, Coquitlam, and other Coast Salish peoples. I'm Jesse, here with you once again after playing you the UFO documentary last week. Back today with another episode, another installment of the World Media in English update from Rum Tin, a little bit of music, and an episode of Health Matters about gender-affirming care, which now and always is just a good thing to think about and learn more about. So we're going to get into all of that. I have a variation on the What Did Jesse Find in the Archives, and just a little bit of local music. So we'll start there. Last time I was in the studio, I believe I played a track by Francis Arevalo from his new-ish record, Heat Check. Came out earlier this spring. Very, very good. Really well-produced, well-written hip-hop. Great lyrics, great songwriting, just all around great. I'm going to see how many times I can say great. Maybe that'll be my word of the day. Anyway, this one, fittingly to start the show, is called Sunrise at Mount Pleasant by Francis Arevalo.
Just don't be a disgrace, okay?
What is this? What is bad? What is good? What good is that? What is my purpose and what is its purpose? What's trying too hard? What is imperfect? What if my work's worthless? What if my worth worthless? What if they draft me on the first version? Am I the third charm or the worst wordsmith? What if my hurt surface? Could I subvert burdens? Oh, my hurt heard this. Got some birds perching. Then my verse worsens. Then I curse my verses. I will verse hurdles and think to urge persons to murmur words early and hurl their worries furthest. I'm on the verge surging. I need a stern talking. I got the nerds bobbing. I got a firm offer. What if I earn purses? More so my terms earned them. What if I write his block? I could avert curtains. I will emerge earnest. Could I merge verdicts? I spit that burn sternum. Reflection eternal. What if I tried hard? What if I found God? What if these lines fall flat and my mind's gone? What if my crew loves or hates all of it? Or the world does the opposite? What if my crew loves or hates all of it? Or the world does the opposite? What's living if I ain't getting no peace of mind? Why try if the people won't even see the shine? I've been trying, but at what cost? I guess I'm just a lost cause. What's living if I ain't getting no peace of mind? Why try if the people won't even see the shine? I've been trying, but at what cost? I guess I'm just a lost cause. I see it's all changing now, with bigger stages now. Pussy looking relatively famous, wow. Play for crowds, a couple thou made you a couple thou. Now you call it quits and you go all in, you might double down. Face the doubt, who really knows how this is playing out? What's the point of wealth if you can get yourself, get out of hell? The fame don't feed you, the pain don't need you, the game don't see you. Would you tell a peasant to aim for crowns? Now you're waiting on some payments now. When a year ago, all you had were dreams of some people would hear you flow. People know your lyrics. At the concerts, they sing them loud. Came to make music. Is that the reason you're staying down? What, do you need a medal now? And you'll never plan to settle down? Cause no one's at your level now. Settle down. One day you'll set it down.
what's living if I ain't getting no peace of mind? Why try if the people won't even see the shine? I've been trying, but at what cost? I guess I'm just a lost cause. What's living if I ain't getting no peace of mind? Why try if the people won't even see the shine? I've been trying, but at what cost? I guess I'm just a lost cause. So what they think they talk about, all they do is talk doubt. You dropped out of college to listen to college dropout. Learning most lessons out the classroom going on about. Dreaming one day with all the music, it'll help your moms out. Know you're going all out, now you're going all in and then some. Maybe more of the outcomes become income. You can make your mom proud, build fam, a kingdom, a queendom. Now your dreams, they don't even seem dumb. These plans are unreal, they ain't even seen them. So think it up, imagine if ancestors were seeing us. Keep singing the song, spent too long being unsung. Soul was filling empty, hole was greater than some. Some knowledge in your dreams, found wisdom in your genes. Found poems in your skin, freedom in your team. When you call it quits, might be the city's best to do it. But don't sweat it for now, somebody's gotta make the music. Don't sweat it for now, somebody's gotta make the music. Don't sweat it for now, somebody's gotta make the music. What's living if I ain't getting no peace of mind? Why try if the people won't even see the shine? I've been trying, but at what cost? I guess I'm just a lost cause.
Ain't what you say. Ain't what you believe. Ain't what you convey. What you say, oh, what you portray.
Story what I said before, I called to settle scores. I know you metamorphed and I don't wanna meddle more. I don't think I've met a more driven dude with metaphors. From this town I get your sound, I'm headed out, I'll get the door. Listen to your mixtapes, listen more than I'll say. No, you ain't a disgrace, I take it back to I'll say. I hope you eat well, sleep well, get your ass out of retail, you're damn good. Say what's up with me, I hope the fam's good.
Sunrise at Mount Pleasant by Francis Arevalo. You can find his new album Heat Check out wherever you get music. It's really good. I highly recommend it. Also did an episode of my other show, The Vancouver Mixtape, featuring Francis the week before his album came out. You can find that at cjsf.ca. Just go to the Vancouver Mixtape program page. Yeah, you can also find past episodes of this show in the same place, cjsf.ca. That's our website. That's how it works. Cool. I promised at the beginning of the show that we would be hearing the latest installment of the World Media in English segment with Rumtin. So we're going to do that now. I sat down with Rumtin yesterday afternoon at our remote studio at Maine and Hastings, and we talked about a number of things, some updates to the World Media in English website and social media, and a shutdown in Iran, among some other details. So we'll get into that, and then I'll talk to you afterwards. Enjoy.
Hi, Jesse, and hello to our listeners. Today I have an international news story to talk about, and I also want to talk about our Facebook page, which for now is titled Air, Water, and Economy for Iran, which, as I will explain, we hope to retitle in the future to include a wider range of countries or even to be about the whole world. The international news story I have chosen is Iran's government's decision to shut down the country for 2 weekdays of Wednesday and Thursday last week. As countries don't normally shut down, people may be asking, what does shutdown of a country even mean exactly? Why should it happen, and what would be the consequences? Shutdown of a country, at least in this country, means stopping of all non-essential government operations, and the government here is really big, and shutdown of banks, schools, and all non-essential business activity. It is certainly unusual, and it takes either very unusual circumstances or an unusual government to do it. But which one was the reason here? Unusual circumstances or unusual government? The government itself said the reason was unusual circumstances, namely the record heat that was being experienced all over the world. And they said it made them concerned about health of their citizens. And as far as what international audiences heard, this announcement was what a very small number who may look at headlines from Reuters or New York Times or similar legacy papers heard. Some of these international headlines did mention on the site that the closures may have been aimed at saving electricity too. This part was not in the government's announcement, but it would have been hard to miss, as power cuts are something that the citizens have painfully experienced for a long time. And among Iranians themselves, no one had any doubts that the government was really looking for an excuse to lighten the loads on the grids, so that the Ministry of Energy could at least try to maintain electricity to residential customers. And in fact, this shutdown wouldn't cost the government very much, as according to an internal report on efficiency of their employees that was quoted by an expert guest on media, the government's bureaucrats' productivity during a day-long shift of theirs is roughly equivalent to half an hour of real work. In addition to professional media, the native language social media were also places where experts on the country's living environments and economy commented on this latest face-saving scheme attempted by the regime. Professor Kaveh Madani, a world-renowned environmental scientist, tweeted in Persian, "You could have built hundreds of dams, but without proper management, you will run out of water." The problems of Iran's bankruptcy of water, natural gas, and electricity cannot be solved by administering holidays, just as problems of dust and air pollution weren't solved with holidays. Another citizen tweeted, "Worrying about high temperatures isn't likely to come from a regime that has shot thousands of its citizens dead, refused to import vaccines in a pandemic, and has mounted chemical attacks on schoolgirls. The first power of the region can't produce enough electricity." Of the accusations that this tweet makes, only one, chemical attacks on schoolgirls, hasn't been proven to be the work of the regime. But today, I want to concentrate only on the last one, that it can't produce enough electricity. This country sits on the second largest reserves of natural gas in the world. This regime has built more than 600 dams in the past 30 years, and for 20 years has kept the country's economy under Western sanctions for trying to develop nuclear power energy. And it gives itself titles like superpower of the region. The reason millions of people of this country are living in poverty and without water or electricity is not that this country does not have the natural or human resources to take care of itself. The reason is that this country does not have democracy. This is also the case in many other countries of the world. But democracy will only happen as much as we, the people, make it happen. And it is all very interconnected across borders now, too. That is why national problems are international too now. And that is why we want to get your attention and participation in learning about problems and solutions of sustainable development in all countries of the world. Internet and social media have provided a great means for people to connect worldwide. And we are using a Facebook page as our main way to reach and talk to people about environments and economies. Based on our current translation abilities, right now we are working on Iran, which is in the page title too. But we hope to expand to other countries soon, and you can help too. This Facebook page has got more than 18,000 likes from all over the world already, and based on the response we get from advertising and sharing it, it seems certain that we can reach much higher numbers of likes very soon. This past Sunday, we started a new advertisement in a number of global South countries, and when I checked the results on Tuesday night, we had added 240 new likes to the page and 28 new shares to the website for a cost of $4. I'm sure a lot of people in the business of social media advertising would find this amazing, but it only shows that people find our content important and something that they care about. We have a YouTube and an Instagram as well, which you can find links on our website. Please join the growing community we are building and stay with us and share your comments and feedback. Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Ramtin. That's great. the quote about it only being the bureaucrats' full day of work only being actually half an hour.
They hadn't publicized it, but this happened to be someone that was working there. Then he got out of the country under a program called Scholars at Risk. Mm-hmm. Because some university professors, if they're about to be arrested or something, if they can, you know, connect with this NGO, which is called the Scholars at Risk, And somehow, not all of them can, but this guy was able to, you know. And he has had a lot of, you know, he's been inside, like he's been in newspapers, he's been in the government, and he's been teaching in university. Now he's in Norway, and he has a good job in university there, and his family is with him. Nobody can do anything to him. So he goes on media, and what he's saying is not a lie. I mean, this guy is not going to, you know, lie. This is an internal report that they, and of course, they never make these things public.
Well, and I mean, that seems to be one of the end products, the common end products of this authoritarian type of regime, is that there's cronyism and there's all sorts of people who have jobs, and there's this really inefficient bureaucracy that is almost inefficient by design. And
yes, well, I mean, yes, it's partly design, partly the general criticism that anybody would have about a big government, because once the government owns everything, there is no competition and it becomes a bureaucracy. And it's the case there. I mean, electricity is not done by private companies there. It's the government owns the Minister of Energy, and the Minister of Energy owns all the dams, all the production means. The oil company is not a private company, it's owned by the government. And then they do subcontract a lot of their work to, so to speak, or so-called private sector. But this private sector are made of people who have the connections. They're basically people, relatives of these people, or people who are ready to play their games. And that's true. I mean, if you think about it, that's really true even in democracies, but to a much lesser extent. I mean, much lesser extent.
Well, there's a little bit more. The public can act as checks and balances a little bit more.
Exactly. And then when there is real elections, I mean, in democracies, some people, I mean, if you talk to, I mean, I heard it from Ralph Nader, who was calling the U.S. government an oligarchy. But, well, it has some oligarchic characteristics, but it's not an oligarchy compared to, let's say, Iran, you know?
Yeah, there's a scale.
There's a scale, yes. In the U.S., there are checks and balances, which you can't, you know, go that far. So, absolutely. In Iran, it's basically the worst-case scenario. It's 20% of the population who have jobs, economic security, and so on. Although, no, I'm sure even they are not happy in their hearts, because the country is sick. What then? I mean, they call them, there is a very, very hardcore, they call them hardcore of power. They could be not even anything like 5% or something. Those are the people that actually like believe in the ideology. If the Ayatollah is telling them something, that's the word of God, you know. But those are really very few. The rest of them, and it's not me saying this, it's all commentators and anybody who looks at that government and people who are coming from that country, it's not people from observing from the outside, are saying that within that 20%, still the majority are just people who are, you know, as they said in the native language, sitting on the table of the revolution. The revolution has given them a table. The table is being filled up with goodies, and they're sitting on it, and they're feeding themselves, and at the cost of other people, you know, which you can see in these shutdowns. Like, a lot of businesses suffer in these shutdowns, and they're not even consulted. You know, the government just decided. It's like I guess in Europe in the Dark Ages, a king would sit down and do, you know, something unusual for the day, except in those days, life wasn't so interconnected, so that, you know, somebody could make a decision and then bring so many businesses down. You know, the king may have decided unusual things, but here the king makes these unusual decisions on its own, the king being the government, which is actually headed by one person here. And it can affect people really, really drastically. I mean, a lot of businesses lose money. And economically, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. It's like the cost of bread went up since last year. I think it doubled or something. I'm not exactly sure, but it's at least doubled, you know. And that's, people already had difficulty buying bread. And that's the main staple there, you know. And it's doubled. But the incomes haven't gone up, you know. And so this shutdown is another story. It was like a relief that they gave themselves. They said, oh, look, the world is hitting records, you know, so we can actually say something, you know, give an excuse, you know, we worry about the people, you know.
Yeah, it's very performative, right? Like, there's no action being taken towards an actual long-term solution or anything. It's just a, like, oh, hey, look, we did something.
Exactly. And one of the main criticism of the regime is that it hasn't invested in real infrastructure, you know, because it's a country that has a lot of sun, has a lot of natural gas, and they have chosen to actually get the energy from the worst possible ways, which is building dams, which destroys the ecosystem of the country. And it has destroyed, you know, lakes have dried up, rivers have dried up, and they're not having to cut water in even in big cities, which so far they hadn't, you know, been forced to. But right now, this year, we had a lot of cuts. When they announce it, it's really bad. It's like a blanket cut off that they have to announce because you can't hide it. But mm-hmm. there are smaller, you know, cuts that they do, which get out by citizen journalists, which they don't even announce, but they're dealing with it. No, the country economically is heading down a path where a lot of people are saying is not sustainable, even for this regime, you know. So everybody is sitting and waiting what's going to happen. It's a very unpredictable kind of a situation right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to make sure we cover?
I should have mentioned that on the events page of our website, we are linking all the audio files of our segments here. These segments, as I think we said in one of our previous programs, are not the actual news items that we want to publish, because that is a bigger process. We have to go by the guidelines and do a review of all the reports that have been provided and create an audio visual, and it's a lot of work. The truth is, we are not people with a lot of money or a lot of network so far, or big institutions behind us. We are people just like you. That's why we are coming to you, and we are coming to you in audio because understandably people don't like to sit down and read text, and a lot of our content so far has been text. The reason we are coming to you by audio is to make it more, you know, easier for people to listen to, which you can actually listen when you're working or when you're doing housework and that kind of thing. I listen to a lot of audio when I'm working or I'm doing housework, so it doesn't need to actually take a lot of extra time, but it's a great thing that you would do for social justice and for people that do need help. So again, I just want to appeal to people, there is nobody else that is going to do it. This is a great, you know, project to do, and really it's you people listening, and there is a lot that you can do. You don't need to have really specialized skills to offer to be a professional translator or web designer or social media development expert, nothing like that. It's a lot of it is just networking in your own personal networks, just sharing it in your own personal networks. And if you know any languages other than English, well, you can search in your media in your native language, because a lot is said and communicated in these languages that we just don't hear about. And that's easy. You just need your computer and your knowledge of your native language to sit down and do Google searches, you know, and just bring it to us and share with us, and we can take it from there. It's really easy and even fun. And our Zoom meetings are explained in the events page of our website. And so if you go there, you will see about the Zoom meetings, and also you will have the links to these audio pages, which we encourage you to listen.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, Jesse.
And thank you once again to Ramtin for that update from World Media in English. You can find out more information and listen to past segments by going to worldmediainenglish.org, worldmediainenglish.org. Those past episodes are also listed on cgsf.ca under the Speak Up show program page. Okay. This is more new music from Edziu, who I played a couple weeks ago. I played a 11-minute long-form experimental track for you last week. This one still incorporates lots of different elements and cool things. Much shorter and closer to standard.
Everything is out there if you really want to know.
This is Warrior Song.
All you have to do is...
We can fight them if we want to.
Everything is out there if you really want to know the truth.
But why does the Indian Act not have power over us, though? What do you mean by that when you said that?
Because it was never given the authority to have power over us. It just made them believe that it has the power.
Bare my teeth, cut my braids.
Ground hard on my feet,
I feel incomplete, but still.
to know the truth.
We can win. We can win. We can fight it. We can win.
We're all hoping that our leaders would do that, but they won't. All they're interested in this. In self gain.
We won't go now. We won't go now. We won't go now. We won't go now. We won't go now.
Everything is out there. If you really want to know the truth, all you have to do is everything is out there.
But why does the Indian Act not have power over us, though? What do you mean by that when you said that?
Because it was never given the authority to have power over us. They just made them believe that it has the power.
Warrior Song by Ed Ziu from the record Potlatch in the Box, which I will reiterate from 2 weeks ago. Definitely go listen to the whole thing. It's so good. Can't recommend it enough. Okay, now a brief segment, a spin on From the Archives. I have less time than I thought I would, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Raymond Scott. I listened to a podcast yesterday and today, half of it yesterday, half of it today, called The Last Archive, and they did an episode about Raymond Scott, who was a hugely prolific composer in the early part of the 20th century, and then got really into inventing and made a music composition machine and a lot of sort of early synthesis and automation work. Then when I came into the studio this morning, there was a folder on the desktop of the computer labeled Raymond Scott for Connor of Bitcoover. He must have done an episode over the last little bit. And so I had to play some. You know, it just seemed the only appropriate move. So what you're hearing in the background is music composed in part by the Electronium, which was the music writing machine that Raymond Scott invented before computers existed. So, very cool. And we're going to listen to as much of this as will fit before we hear the episode of Health Matters about gender-affirming care. And then we'll go to Democracy Now! So, enjoy. This is Electronium Movie Score by Raymond Scott.